But the really interesting thing is that my gran wrote where the letter was from on the wall. So we've got the dates and the exact places.
Yeah. So could you just tell me again what's in the box?
All the letters that my mum wrote to her mum. Oh, for the tape, yes. Yeah. All the letters that my mum wrote to her mum while they were in the caravan.
Wow.
Yeah.
So all the places are on all the letters?
Nearly all of them, yeah.
Gosh.
All in university envelopes.
Don't tell Harold.
Yes, he'd wanted to charge for that. There you go.
And on my notes, is I've got a thing about saving paper.
Oh, yeah.
And when Dad was doing invigilating for exams for other schools and universities, and all the exam papers that he marked were in books of paper.
Yes.
And so you'd have all the work done, question, blah, 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 and then at the back there'd be these few sheets. And we would set them out on the table and we'd all be get to work to go and take out these back sheets
of everybody's... Oh, you took out the back sheets, did you?
Yeah, yeah.
I just benefited from them. Yeah.
I've still got some.
It says, question, something at the top.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, the question should be written in the margin.
The question
something.
Should be written. No, yeah, no, the
something like
question
that.
Number should be written in the margin.
Yeah, yeah. So these books, we were then tasked to work our way through.
To rip them, to take the blank sheets, so we had plenty of colouring paper.
Yeah, and writing paper, and forever.
One of my questions from having spoken to all of you is, how did your dad have time to do all of the different things that he did? Because there are a number of different jobs that you've described, things on the side. And
you just told me another one. Some were all at different times in life. Obviously, the invigilating was an external examining as well he would do.
I think that was probably part of his university
whilst he was at university, I would say.
But
the summer school, which was at Oxley Hall, Oxley Hall, that's what he used to rent that for the British Council through the summer holiday. And
it was for teachers of English in
as a foreign language
in their own countries.
Yeah.
And they used to bring, often they'd bring little gifts like dolls in their native
dress.
And
yeah.
I got lots
of
little things.
Yeah.
I still got them.
Yeah.
And he did a marking for a school exam in spoken English or something.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, and I've just remembered another one. He did, and now I've forgotten it. Oh, what was it?
I think a lot of these things.
Oh, he did editing as well.
Yeah,
he did lots of books that he edited as well.
He'd been so badly paid.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
needed to earn extra money.
Mm. He got us through to Peter from.
And then, I know MI5 doubled his income.
Did it? Yes.
Yeah, he used to, he told me, because I said to him, how did they pay you? And he said that at the end of the session, the bloke would come up to him and shake his hand and at the same time slide an envelope into his pocket with, what did I say, £100 or something, £100 in it.
Wow.
Yeah, loads, because they bought that house for something like £6,000. So he'd go down 3 or 4 times a year. So, I did say to him,
I think it doubled his
He told me he went one day a month he would have to go down to London when he first started.
Oh, that often.
Yeah,
I think it probably
me. I'll have
reduced.
To go down. That's what he said to me. I'll have to go because I'm going to be going away. He told me. Driving to school, actually, when I just started.
Yeah.
And the deal with me going to school was that he would run me to school.
Well, you're still bitter about that.
I am.
But, he said to me when it first started, it was kind of 4 times a year, and they'd send him this first-class train ticket. Mm. And then there were the letters. I think I scanned the letters and sent them to you. So, that they would like him to come down at his convenience and then this. So nothing declared for tax, I don't think.
Oh, it's that struck me as very strange that the government would give you cash
underhand deals.
So.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I never thought of it like that before.
Yeah.
I did not.
you probably had to declare it for tax, or else they'd shop you, wouldn't they?
Yeah. That's right. They knew.
Just
make an assumption that they paid the tax for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure they did. Yeah.
For the purposes of the tape.
I would think Dad probably declared it if it should have been declared.
Yeah.
I think he would do. I don't think he would have not.
Always very precise about it.
Mm.
Just like mum's talking about all these things, but Hilary got, she's also got the books of all the housekeeping with all of the spends, haven't you?
Not during the caravan years.
Oh, no,
so,
right,
no,
not
later
that,
on.
Later
yeah.
on, yeah.
Brought up in wartime.
Yes, very much so. Very much so.
Very parsimonious.
Yeah.
But Dad wasn't. Dad was
no.
very generous.
He could be, yeah.
Yeah.
But he didn't have much, a lot of the time.
Mm.
No.
Did you get a sense of what his childhood was like? Do you know much about his childhood?
He really liked his mum. I've got a picture of his mum here.
Feels like a museum.
Wow. So this is his mum.
Excuse me.
And she died when he was about 21.
Wow.
And there'll be some pictures in these boxes of his dad.
Mm.
He liked his mum and dad. I think he had a happy childhood,
yeah.
didn't he?
Yeah.
And where exactly was he brought up?
In Lidgett Green.
Lidgett Green.
Yeah.
Cemetery Road.
Yes.
No.
Oh, was that later?
No, Cemetery Road was where his dad lived with his second wife, Lillian,
okay. right.
in Lillian's house. But Dad's house was on Glendare Avenue, and that is
right.
you could throw a stone from the back garden
yeah.
into Glendare Avenue's 12. I have a photo of it on my phone because I was there the other day.
Yeah.
If you'd like to see it.
Yeah, I'll see it sometime. But
yeah.
Just wash my hands because I
Do you need to stop your tape?
No.
I might say something. Oh,
yeah.
Let me look at me on the
oh,
swing.
That's you on the swing.
Yeah, me on the swing. In
oh, that's his dad. This is. Would you
oh,
like
you're
the
on
tissue?
The swing with me, Andrew.
Am I?
Yeah.
So I think
oh, that
will be
yes.
Cemetery Road, isn't it, with the stained glass?
Yes, that's Cemetery Road.
Yeah.
It's definitely.
Well,
so.
It
now,
doesn't
now
have
now
any
so.
Of that now.
Oh,
it's very sad looking.
I loved swinging on that thing. Oh, yeah.
Caravan in the background.
Land Rover.
Sorry, the Land Rover in the background, yeah.
And
that's outside the house in Bradford on Cemetery Road.
Yeah.
Gosh. So that was the middle of your caravan years.
I think we also went to Bedford.
Yes.
Well.
Yeah, he would be. Yeah, you'd have been in the caravan then, wouldn't you?
Me with the Land Rover behind.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you know, you're a family of archivists, aren't you?
Well,
they were the archivists.
We're they were the
archivists.
We're a family of inheritors.
Yes, sadly.
That's an amazing picture.
So,
I've got Great White Dialect hunted down.
This
here.
Is Iron Actor.
Weren't we going to say something about the Great
like?
White Dialect?
I
couldn't
the
just
toilet,
put...
Your
I think we were
cool,
talking about it.
And I slipped
yeah.
on a bit of... No,
I'm on the beach with Martin.
That's the sort of beach holidays we had, you know.
Oh, we did.
Freezing on the sand.
Yeah. And I did want to mention as well, Rosie, that Dad had a Gannex Mac.
Oh, that's
yes.
the type of... I was
yes.
telling you about the Gannex
Harold
Mac with
Wilson
the Gannex with the cough candy in the pocket.
There's
a Gannex Mac.
It's like a twin skin thing. In a
yeah, with
lattice
a funny lattice
material.
Not Roy Kinchin.
And it was Harold Wilson that used to wear one of these
like
in his interviews and things, and Dad had one of these Ganex Macs.
Oh, yes.
And you might see when he was interviewing Tommy Mason.
Tom Mason.
They call it Tommy in the credit, I think.
Oh,
I know he's Tom Mason,
Tommy.
But I'm
yeah.
sure it says Tommy. He's wearing the Ganex Mac. And you sent
and that's
the picture.
Chair that I told you about my mum sitting. That's my mum.
That's the nursing chair.
That's
the
nursing chair.
Sadly, I sent to auction because we didn't have room for it. That's the other chair that was in the caravan.
I think you sent us this. This looks familiar.
Right. I don't know. I think
something similar then.
The chicken.
Yes.
The chicken. It says on the back.
Yes, it is. It's Roy and Edwina Kinch.
Yeah.
Milton and Teasdale.
Right, and more with the snow.
And there's some here as well, aren't there? Don't there some here? No, you've moved those.
Oh, so that must be Amanda.
Oh, right,
yeah. These are amazing. There's lots of caravan pictures, lots in the snow.
And we didn't mention to you, I don't think the others were mentioned, we stayed at a place called Ford Castle.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I missed Ford Castle.
Right, so...
Ford is really...
Ford
important.
Is a place up in the northeast of England, and they made friends with the people who were the caretakers of the castle.
Not the caretakers, it was the... He was
warden.
He was the warden.
Warden.
It was actually... it was a higher education...
For
it was an FE college, but it was owned by the...
Northumbrian
It was
County
owned
Council.
By the Northumbrian County
yeah.
Council. And... yeah,
and they, the
warden
and his wife and boys lived at the castle, and of course we went up with the caravan, and then we used to revisit, and as kids we used to go and stay in the castle, I mean play in the castle grounds and run along the long corridors with the suits of armour, and it's just stuff that
idyllic stuff.
I mentioned the electric fence. The cows on the other side of it with Martin.
And did you tell the story about Mum saying the caravan was moving?
Yeah,
day?
That was an earth. It was
yeah.
actually an earthquake.
Yeah.
yeah.
She thought it was a cow rubbing its bum against the side of the caravan.
Sophie.
Oh. She would have been more alarmed if she'd known it was an earthquake.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, at least one thing about being in a caravan, it isn't going to collapse, is it?
Unlikely. And I don't know if these two remember. Dad used to say to me, if you can't work something out, throw it to the back of your mind. Do you remember him saying that?
Oh, no, I don't remember.
Ooh,
don't
remember that?
Well,
yeah.
I do that, so it probably
well, yeah,
is
he did.
What
he
said
used to
me.
Say,
yeah.
just throw it to the back of your mind and then just forget all about it and the answer will come to you. And
it
really works. It
does.
It really works.
3 days later, when you don't need that information,
yeah,
anymore,
it just pops out.
Pops up.
Oh, I'll tell you another thing about Dad. He was terrible at taking photos. He was really appalling at taking photos. He was usually out of focus or badly composed. Or so when he went abroad, which he did a lot when he was older, you know, and retired, he would take photos of pictures that were on the wall in the hotel, or slides. He'd buy slide packs, wouldn't he? Because he always said, well, I couldn't take as good pictures. So his photos were filled with all these terrible pictures of some photo of the Kremlin or something that had been on the hotel foyer's wall, and he'd gone, oh, well, that's a good photo, rather than taking the photo himself. It's hilarious.
So the incident with the fire razor was Elsom's warehouse. That's what he used to talk about.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
At the back of the town.
Back
of the crown?
Back of the crown.
Back of the crown.
Back of the
crown.
Back of the crown. It used to go like that in the conversation. Yeah.
Well, because that's when he
was Elsom's warehouse.
Reg invented the segmentator.
Segmentator.
And the segmentator got talked about a lot.
Yeah.
And it was a loop of tape got put onto the tape recorder.
Just from one reel to the other and then back through the
round,
head.
Round through the heads of the tape recorder, because in those days you used to thread it through.
Yeah.
And he put they could just put that piece of sound that he was working on in there, and it would go round and round.
And repeat, and repeat, repeat,
repeat, repeat. And then Reg, the technician in the English department,
yeah, I mentioned him too.
had invented this piece of electronic equipment that could just pull out one word. So it must have been timed or something. So if he was looking at town, town,
yeah,
town, so
yeah,
you'd hear him listening up in the study,
yeah,
and
yeah,
you'd hear town, town,
yeah,
town, back of the town, back of the town, town,
yeah, yeah,
town,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
and it was called,
well, that
the segmentator.
That would be, it was back of the crown.
Crown.
That's what he was trying to say. It was back of the crown.
Crown.
Back of the crown. Near the corn exchange. And yeah, I remember these things get straight into your brain.
Well, it went on round and round and round.
Well, yeah, we all heard it.
Because we all heard it.
He was
yeah,
checking it and redoing it. And
but it, yes, Reg did this.
Because I think they used the segmentator for comparing pictures as well.
Did they?
He was using the same thing. So if you had two pictures and was it a mistake in a page or something, I think. So if you had a page and you had an original,
flick it backwards and forwards,
and
you
flashed
from
one
to
the other where it was kind of mucked up, that was where the error was, and it just leapt out at you, see, because you were just comparing and it found all the errors or something like that. I know they were doing all sorts of faffy things.
So was he good friends with Reg?
Oh, yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But he used to grumble about him because Reg was
oh, he did what he did.
He did what he did. He was...
You had to make him. You had to make him interested in something, and if he
yeah,
was interested, he'd do it. But if he didn't get interested,
so you had to go and sit with him, and then he would actually do it. But he never finished anything, so he'd got a whole room full of half-finished projects, and all the students loved him so because they went and told him all their problems. And
oh, didn't they?
Oh yes, my dad said he was the best therapy for young people in university.
That's the chair. That's next door.
Oh, look at that. That's phenomenal.
That's the chair that's next door.
So has it got the board on it?
Yeah. Has it got the board?
It's got your dad on it.
With you.
I
must go to
the But do you remember the board?
No.
Oh,
yeah,
the
yeah,
board,
yeah,
the board
not,
was in the house for years.
Yeah.
Certainly was there at least. I think it went to Uber.
Yeah, it did. The board did.
The
did
board.
It?
The board, yeah. Have you told her about the board?
Yes, sorry, you were telling her about the board.
No, have
no,
you told
yes,
her?
Yes, I was
told
her about
right,
the board.
No, I haven't
yeah,
told her about the board.
Because it was always referred to as
the
board.
Yeah, yeah. Gosh, it. I think it actually got some kind of rot.
Did it?
Towards
no, did
the latter
it?
Part. Yeah.
Who's this?
What was that woman who was at the university?
Oh, sorry, I'll put her in a crate again. Come on, come on. The other thing
is that what's it, Dan and Daisy, the caravan.
Come on.
Oh,
Kit
and Jesse.
Kit and Jesse.
Are they tall enough?
He's tall, isn't he? Look.
No.
Look at
they
him
were
next
really
the dad.
Tall.
Well, look at him next to dad.
But she was tall as well.
Was she both?
Yeah, they were both really, really tall.
Have you talked about Kit and Jesse?
No, I didn't.
So Kit and Jesse Barlow? No, not Barlow. I won't say Barlow. They were a couple who they'd met when they were caravanning, but this couple had a caravan where they lived near Farnborough, and then they had a touring caravan that they would then go and tour, and they'd come across or they'd keep in touch with these people, and then they'd meet up with them, and they were both very tall and very thin.
Mm.
I mean, 6 foot plus, an elderly, well, they weren't elderly, well, obviously,
yeah,
but they used to go ballroom dancing.
Very
and
elegant.
They would, this tall couple, and they would out with their caravan up and down, and they had this touring caravan made especially with long beds because they were both tall. It had to be made to fit them in.
If you're going
to
spend that much time in a caravan,
well, yeah,
yeah.
But
they were very middle class, weren't they? And he'd been an engineer,
ICI or something,
petrochemical.
Mm.
Yeah, I thought so, which was perhaps why they retired to Farnborough.
So the other story I was going to tell you was when Dad first did radio broadcasts, he still had quite a broad Bradford accent, didn't he?
Yeah.
But he sort of had a radio voice where, and you hear it,
yeah,
and he spoke through his nose to put on this kind of slightly more refined
received English, what's it
called? RP,
English.
I suppose,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't know. And I would hear it. So this is when I was very, very little, and I'd go, "Oh, Dad, you put on your radio voice." But you do hear it when he was younger.
Yeah, definitely.
This real sort of nasal,
yeah,
trying to eliminate his Bradford
accent, yeah,
which did smooth out over,
yeah,
the years.
Yeah.
But that was always really funny.
And he used to do, they used to do phone-ins, and radio, people would call in with
radio
questions.
Leads. Yeah.
And Dad would go to bed early, and he'd sit in bed, and he'd got a...
No, in his pyjamas in his study, not in bed.
No, he told
really?
Me. He told me in bed. And he'd got one of these...
telephone
headsets with a earphone and a microphone mounted on his head. So he could surround himself with all his books for making reference, just if there was something he wasn't quite sure that he needed to pick up on. And he would take, the studio would relay the questions to him, and so it would sound as if he was in the studio doing the call, but he'd actually be, he said he managed to get them to do it on the phone so,
yeah,
that he could stay at home, he didn't want to come back from
the
studio.
But he used
to like
being in his study so that he could have all his reference books.
Well, he told me in bed.
Well,
I think he was in his study.
Oh, he told
it's
me
a better
in his
story
study.
Yeah,
in bed.
I think it's two against one, Andrew.
But his study was...
Next door to his
quite,
bedroom.
Quite compact, so he had a swivel chair and he would just all his books all the way around.
Mm.
So he was quite good at keeping them talking.
Mm.
Meanwhile, he's busy looking up whatever. So it sounds as though he knew the answer, but in fact, he'd looked it up.
Well, and people would say to him, "Where are you? Where? Oh, you're Stanley Ellis.
What?
Where am I from?" And he'd say, "Why are you lost?" He got really sick of it.
Because I think you talk about, I've seen some literature, where is it? Was it Yorkshire Dialects? There's sort of a myth of this thing about trying to locate people to distance and position and everything. Yeah. I had a friend who had a variation on that, who was a wine connoisseur. He was always asked, what was this, what was that? And he would excuse himself and go check by the bins outside to find what the bottles were. But I remember Dad did cheat, because I remember young lady said to him, where am I from? And he said, you did this and you learnt your English in Manchester, or something like that. And she said, that's amazing. And he'd overheard a conversation that she said she'd studied her nursing in Manchester earlier in the evening.
But he could.
In the other room.
Yeah.
You've got to use these things if they're thrown in front of you, haven't you?
Is there any wonder I went into agriculture, you know?
Yeah. Well,
and that's
you were
the
outstanding
stove
in the field,
they had
Martin.
In the,
yeah,
caravan.
Absolutely.
And they used to burn anything they could burn.
Wow.
And they'd bury the cans.
Great big track marshal
so
before
cans.
I was four.
Wow.
Driving experience.
Yeah.
The chances are us probably driving it.
You were. This is the. This is where. Yes, Dad said that he used to take the door off the Land Rover and put it in bottom box. And Martin.
They had
steering.
A regular. They had a governor on them as well. Did those early Land Rovers?
Ah,
so you could
right.
actually set the.
So you could go around the field while he's standing on the
standing
seat.
On the seat, steering.
Amazing. And I mean, is this your mum's writing? On the back of all these, because she's kept a careful record, hasn't she? Or somebody has.
Oh, yes, mum's. Yeah. Martin, age 13 months, so 1956 at somewhere that I can't read.
Goodness me.
Wow. Yeah, well, sort of careful record.
He's a very special, special. Yeah. I've got a copy of the questionnaire here.
Yeah.
Looks like a very old copy.
Signed.
Well, we do have a copy. I've got a copy upstairs of the entire survey.
Yeah.
They're about.
copy of the entire survey.
Yeah, all the volumes.
I've got the tapes of all of the entire survey, I think, somewhere.
And the book, the Eugen Death book with the maps and things. So.
And would all of those have been your dad's copies?
Yeah.
That you've got?
Mm. Yeah. Although he had several copies, I think I got rid of some of them. Cause, but did
I
you see
didn't
this?
Say, I didn't say when you were recording me individually, but after he finished at the university, he became very worried about the dialect survey data and everything in the collection, because nobody was looking after it.
Mm.
So he used to go back to the university in some sort of capacity, I don't know what. But
he managed to keep an office there after he'd left.
Yes.
Oh,
he,
yeah.
I guess it gave him one in.
But the dialect survey data kept getting pushed into smaller and smaller corners, and at one stage I know it was under the stairs in somewhere or other, and he was getting really concerned about it.
Well, a lot
really
of the stuff was found
it.
In the skip, wasn't it? They
was
did
it really?
Actually get it to that. Somebody spotted that the survey journals had been put in a skip and pulled them out, I think. Isn't that right? Do you know, you don't know that? Somebody's told
certain.
Me that.
I've certainly spoken to makers of the LADC who talked about saving things from being skipped, but I didn't realise they'd been literally in the skip.
They had had a go.
But I know he was getting very concerned about it, so he was really pleased when, what was his name, got appointed as a...
Clive Upton.
Clive Upton, yeah, when Clive got the job.
Mm.
He was really relieved, wasn't he, Dad? I mean, I think he had great respect for Clive, so he was, but I know he was very pleased because he thought, well, after this, if with Clive there, the survey data will be saved.
Yeah.
But it was very concerned at this stage.
Mm.
And it all could have been very different because he was, and my understanding of the story is that he was offered a chair in Australia.
No, he applied, but
no, he
was
invited to apply.
Oh, invited to apply,
that
but
was
there was a mix-up, though.
He responded, and there was a postal strike.
That's what I said. There was a mix. It didn't there. It didn't arrive.
And the postal strike meant that it arrived after the closing day.
But he'd applied without telling Mum, I think. And
there were discussions at home, and information about Perth was in the house, and you know, the sort of.
But she said no.
Did she?
Mum said no, which was ironic because she loved Australia when she finally went.
Yeah.
You know, I think she sort of regretted that we'd not gone.
But yes.
Oh, nearly had it then.
How
Joyce Grace, something like that.
Oh, Joyce.
Joyce Hill?
Yes.
No, there was Joyce Hill as well.
Oh,
about
right.
About the time of Joyce Hill, there was this other woman with short, dark hair, a little bit earlier.
Go. Have them all. Take them all. Yeah, yeah. I'll take photos of the whole lot. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
You think it's it? Yeah.
It's incredible. I'm interested in these pages because they're about...
1953.
they're about villages really close
they
to
are.
Where I live.
Oh, right.
Yeah, well, they talk about Steeple Aston.
Yeah.
Yeah, they talk about Steeple Aston.
So what have I taken pictures of so far?
Gwen Wade? No,
yes,
we said
Gwen
Wade.
Wade, yeah.
No, not Gwen Wade. No.
There's quite a lot of pages.
Wow. Yeah, no, I won't take pictures of all of them just now, but how would you feel about loaning me some of these to be copied?
Yeah, that's fine, but I'd like the book back.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to apply any pressure.
No, there's not.
Yeah.
It's just that but it's not very full. You know, there's only a few more
pages.
But it's actually very valuable to us because it's the record of all of these people are in here that are our family friends.
Yeah.
But I would say that was quite typical of Dad. He'd sort of, I suppose they went into perhaps those specially printed books that were about capturing it.
I've seen that kind of writing in the journal stuff, isn't it? You know, And I came back from so-and-so and it took me 2 hours. And he's really sort of, is he writing the letter to Orton, really saying, this is why you owe me the money, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Took me a day to tow the what's it from so-and-so to so-and-so.
Yeah. I suppose that, yeah, they must finish.
A lot of mileage, actually.
The information about informants here, you know, kind and helpful.
Yeah.
Informants.
Cause
it
don't
thing, be. Who stay, like those will end up going in those field workers' notebooks. Yeah. Wow. Well, we do have a form where we can agree what you've loaned us so that we obviously we're in the business of preserving archives, so we'll be very careful and you'll get it back. Only if you're sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you're happy, aren't you?
Yeah. Yes.
I should probably let you get on with your evening
yeah.
and head back.
Thank you so much
thank
for coming, though.
Thank you
for
all of your time. It's just been such an incredible privilege and I mean, a real thrill for me, to be honest.
It's been very nice to be able to put it all together. Yeah.